with Mike a little bit later on at 8:30 on RSN. Sorry, Racing Pulse. Neil Wilson, speaking of excellent racing people, in fact, the most important racing people, CEO of the VRC. He's got clothes on, and he's in the studio with us this morning after his run. Welcome, Neil.
Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
I'm going very well, thank you. How far did you go this morning?
About seven and a bit. 7Ks and a little bit more.
But, where were they see you floating around? Which parts of Melbourne are you?
Bayside. Bayside. It was a beautiful morning, and it was spectacular, actually.
Well, it would have been this morning, yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Nice. And that's a morning ritual every morning for you?
Six out of seven I aim for. Yeah.
Which one do you have off?
It depends how what I've done.
It's a tapering program, Whitey. He's got a tapering program.
It's a special treat. It's a special treat.
Well, that's a great effort. Just getting up and doing anything at that level of the morning is impressive. But for a man of your position at the VRC, you've got to be up and about and be sharp every day, I imagine. Does that help? Do you think it helps?
I've done it for a long time. When I was really busy with business and whatever I've been doing, I've always seemed to be able to get up early and go for a run, and it really is the way to start the day in my life. So I look forward to it and enjoy it. And by the time you get in the car or wherever you're heading, you're ready for action.
I'm interested, Neil, the difference between you were CEO and now chairman. What the time difference on how much time you spend at the VRC and the role change?
It is a bit unusual coming out of the CEO role into the chairman role, but the chairman doesn't have an operational responsibility. It chairs the board and makes sure that we're running the club with the right governance, and we're running and providing support for the management team and providing support for the CEO. So Steve Rossich, who took over in November last year, and I have worked really closely on where those boundaries are, and we have a fantastic working relationship, and the role has changed quite a lot. And I spend on average probably 2 days with the VRC.
Yep.
Obviously it peaks through high racing periods through autumn and spring, so I was full time through the 2 or 3 weeks over the carnival, but outside of that, Steve runs the club, and I chair the board, and we work to make sure that we've got in place the things to take the club forward.
We mentioned the running just before, and it's a chance to clear the head and almost debrief with yourself. We hear AFL coaches, sporting coaches, after they win a premiership and things like that, they enjoy it for 24 hours. The Melbourne Cup Carnival's been and gone. Are you still debriefing the Melbourne Cup Carnival, and what's been your big takeaways from it?
Well, Jim, absolutely. We started on the Monday after finals day working through what we learnt, and obviously some things happened this year that won't happen again, we hope, with limited crowds. But I guess the other really important thing is that our team has been working for about 18 months for a cup week with crowds. A lot of anticipation going in, a lot of nervousness about what would happen and how it would go. And I think we've been really pleased and delighted with the feedback on most measures since the carnival. So the team's up and about and really excited about 2022 and already thinking about how we can make it the biggest and best it's ever been.
Is there much thought with called the racing cards, what races fit where during that carnival?
So we're having a look at a range of things. I mean, Cup Week is the 4 days with the Cup on Tuesday, of course. We're thinking about the last day and how we can build that. We're thinking about going back to Oaks Day pre-COVID when we push that back to a later format, and thinking about bringing that back into the frame for consideration. I mean, Derby Day is an all-group racing day, and we want to make sure we keep it at its status and as the best racing day in Australia. So there's a lot to consider racing-wise, and then there's a lot to consider around that when you think about crowds coming back. And we've seen this year, coming out of the carnival this year, we've had a lot of records broken, which is interesting without crowds. We didn't break the record crowd, of course. We had 30,000 people across 4 days, but we broke records around viewership. Actually, an interesting stat is that we're the highest live streaming Australian sporting event ever. The Cup, and that's something we're very, very proud of, because we've been working over the last 3 or 4 years on building a multitude of platforms to distribute the carnival and the Cup, and that's both domestically and globally. And we've seen record levels of international engagement with the Cup. We've seen record levels of wagering as well on the back of last year, which was a record as well for Cup Day and Cup, which shows a lot about the momentum in that field. But for us, there's so many other dimensions we look at in terms of viewing our sponsorship engagement, our member engagement. The club has come out of Cup Week very confident about all of those measures, and the platform hasn't been broken that we feel like we can build now right into 2022 and beyond and take the carnival to a place it hasn't been before.
Does it change your strategy then? Because obviously Melbourne Cup Carnival is great to get to. It's an unbelievable in-person event, and that'll come back. But has it changed your strategy to go further down the viewership path?
It has. We've learnt a lot. A couple of examples of that. So we had fashions on the field, which we couldn't do for the last 2 years. So we created fashions on your front lawn where people at home send in pictures of themselves in racewear. Going forward, we'd expect to have both. Because that has been an enormous success. We've had so much engagement from people that probably wouldn't have ever come to the races.
Yeah.
That may want to come to the races, but also those that don't come to the races will continue to do that as well. So it's a minor point, but it's an adjustment that we've seen. We've also, this year, seen a number of different ways of putting people together in a way that was COVID safe, that really worked well from an engagement point of view. People have fed back to us, oh, we really like this. We can sit together, be in this area, have the facilities that we want. So I think we'll reimagine a lot of the on-course as well with the feedback we've had this year, but also that on-course side of things the off-course side of things is really important. And this year we introduced Zedrun, the global horse racing digital platform. We've got World Horse Racing, which is our partnership with Ascot Goodwood Breeders' Cup, and Hong Kong joined us this year. That's now the number one racing platform on social media globally. So we've got massive distribution going on. So we're really focused on the core, which is the horse, the racing, and then outside of that, we're looking at all of these surround strategies as to how do we make what we do as an event, what we do as a week, what we do as a race, more visible to more people around the world. And it's the numbers are telling us that the world loves sport, and they love the best in the world. And our job is to make sure we keep particularly the Lexus Melbourne Cup number one in terms of Australia's racing product that the world loves.
I'm interested in that streaming number and the access across the globe and the people participating in that. Have you got a reference point for that in terms of the number of people that were streaming the Cup throughout the week?
Yeah, so we had about 652,000 unique users streaming at that time.
And in comparison to the previous years?
It's up on prior years. I don't know the exact number, but it's certainly a fair way ahead of anything else that we've seen in Australia.
That opens up so many commercial opportunities for you too, when you got that thing.
Absolutely, and we've seen our revenue streams change in the last few years. We've got, obviously, we get revenue from wagering returns, but it's actually growing but becoming a smaller part of the pie for us.
Okay.
So we're seeing our media and content monetization and commercialization being an important part of funding the club going forward. Obviously, our members have been fantastic supporting us through a period where they weren't able to go to the track. We've seen our membership numbers hold remarkably well, and we've had so much support from them. And also our partners, whether they be our corporate sort of sponsor partners or whether they be other partners that from a services and supply point of view have been really supportive as well. But the big part of our revenue pie that's shifted, Daniel, has been the return on content. And both how we think about that in a free-to-air, how we think about that on a digital platform, how we think about that in a curated content sense that we sell packages. We were in we had a cup show through the States this year. We had racing covered by Hong Kong on Derby Day for the first time for a long time, and that's through relationships that we're building globally. And those global relationships are really important for us. And that raises the point around these questions about the Lexus Melbourne Cup. Not being an international race, it is an international race. That's not in dispute at all from a VRC point of view. Will the international runners be lower as we're making changes to make it safer? Yes, but over time, we'll adjust those as we need to, and the international owners, trainers, and breeders will work out how best to make that. No one has said to us along the way that they don't want to win the Melbourne Cup, they'll work out a way to get there.
I'm interested from a point of view of a racing perspective, because it's sort of, in a way, it's hard to learn much over the last 2 years because of COVID, because it's been so unnatural. But have there been things that have happened almost accidentally that has changed what you think of the 4 days from a pure racing perspective? Because it feels like the last 2 years, it's been about the racing and the focus has been a bit more on the track, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing.
I think for us, it's highlighted a few things that we probably knew but hadn't appreciated as much. An example of that is the quality of our track and how well that runs, because when there's a focus on racing, because there isn't anything else happening on course through COVID, there's a lot of scrutiny on the quality of the track. And I've got to say that we're really proud of the track and the investments we've made in the track. And Liam O'Keefe, who I know you talk to regularly, you have a chat with Liam and you're sort of thinking, why is it different? Why does he get it right and sometimes others don't to the level that he does? And I'll just give you a small story that I said to him, what's an example of what you've changed? And he said, well, when we used to mow the track, we used to run up and down the track with the mowers, and we used to just run them up and down at the same point. And he said, I just moved them across half a metre each time. So he said, by the time that you get through 6 months or whatever the time was, the tyre has only gone in one spot rather than going in the same spot every time you mow. It's probably less than a one percenter.
Yeah.
But he does, he's got many of those that he's done. And of course, there's the macro management of the track and making sure that you're watering it and so forth. But from a racing point of view, Adam, that's really, and it might sound a bit strange, but that's actually been highlighted for us because the intense focus on racing. And then the other parts about it is that you get closer to the participants because they're on course. You know, the trainers, the jockeys, the owners weren't on course. The trainers and jockeys, you get very close to them, and our team has got much closer because they're the only ones that were there, and we're dealing with them and making sure that they're comfortable in our environment doing what they need to do.
You talked about Oaks Day, and I think that was a real focus before COVID, the idea of a twilight, maybe even down the track, a night meeting. Is that the one that needs to be more reimagined? I remember 20 years ago, we were getting more people on Oaks Day than we were on Cup Day almost. I mean, where do you think that might head?
It's interesting. We've done a lot of work on that. It's the only working day of the 4 days of the carnival. So, and we used to see a lot of people coming out of town at lunchtime into the Oaks Day racing afternoon. We tried a little later format. Unfortunately, that day we had a really bad weather day and it didn't really work for us as expected. We still think that's the right way to go back and have a look at, but the team will look at that over the next period of time. The racing format itself we'll look at as well. We think there's some opportunities to lift the racing there through a few ideas that we've got. But we think that Oaks Day plays a very important role during the week, and as you say, it's unique. Lots of people plan to go to Oaks Day. Lots of groups of women plan to go to Oaks Day as a special day, and we love that annual event type mindset. So we've got to make sure we try and preserve that, and also create. Don't lose sight of the fact that it's one of the 4 days of the best racing week in Australia, and we've got to make sure it stands up on that level as well.
How important is it to keep attracting the stars, like jockeys and horses and owners? Because obviously, the man north of the border, Peter Verlande, he's super aggressive, and he's trying to do his best for racing up there, but still attracting, Damien Oliver, McDonald Carr, all these big names, all Bray Sikorsky's horses and things like that, and other people who are emerging. How important is it to keep the racing still attractive for them?
I think we saw that over Cup Week that it's vitally important to have the best horses, the very elegance, the nature strips. Yep. It's vitally important to have the James McDonalds and Damien Olivers breaking records.
Yep.
And also the trainers, of course, with the Chris Wallace and so forth, and then the owners who are in their own right carry some cachet with people knowing who they are.
The ones that sort of own Zaki that sort of get a little bit excited in the committee room.
Yeah. I've seen a few of those on the screen.
I saw a snapshot of that. It was a bit more than I expected.
He looks very fit, that man.
Robust.
So we really focus on, over the 37 races of the week, 20 of those are group races. And so we think that those assets are vitally important to not only preserve but enhance. And so the view that the VRC has, and we're working with the industry on it, is that let's capitalise on those assets to attract the best owners, jockeys, trainers. Mm-hmm. The prize money is the variable, but if you actually add prize money to the asset of group racing, then you're in a position where they're making a decision already. Do I go group racing or prize money? And they choose group racing sometimes because they want that.
Mm.
So if we can actually work towards that model as a forward model and not really get distracted about following race patterns and race changes. Some of that it annoys us, and it is what it is. But if you sort of take a bigger view of that, it's really lifted the awareness of racing, and it's elevated the understanding of this great sport. So there's a lot of positives about what's been happening. We just think we've got to take this path now on leveraging these 100-year-plus races that have stood the test of time and are fantastic classic races that we then say, these are the assets we've got. Mm. How do we make these assets the ones that trainers, jockeys and owners are going to want to come to, and take the prize money argument out of it to the extent that we can?
Well, it looks like it's in good hands, the VRC, with you at the chair and Steve in the CEO's role. He's done a great job through a very difficult season of racing, but the Melbourne Cup Carnival, I thought as part of the Spring Carnival, has been a raging success. So thank you for all the work you've done on behalf of the race fans out there and all the sports fans that love this time of year as well, for putting together such an outstanding carnival. We can't wait to see what happens next year.
Pleasure.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Neil Wilson with us, the chairman of the VRC.